Judges chapter 1. After Joshua had died, the people of Israel came and asked Yahweh, "Which of our tribes should first go in and attack the Canaanites?" Yahweh replied, "The tribe of Judah will go first. I will give them victory over the land." Well, you could say, you know, God had promised to give them the kingdom and they had all been given their separate inheritance in it. And Joshua had won so many battles, they were to all just go up and take their inheritance. But they were like, "Ah, you first, no, not me, you go first, no, not me, you go first." So we're a little bit skeptical there. And then the people of Judah said to the people of Simeon, "You come with us into the territory that has been given to us, and let's together fight the Canaanites. Then we'll go with you into the land that was assigned to you." Well, God had promised to give them victory, and yet they seem pretty nervous that they're going to get it. Now, Joshua is the same word as Jesus. It means Yah saves. And so the idea is that Joshua had led the people into the kingdom. He'd won all these victories that we read about in the book of Joshua. And really, the people should have just gone in and easily taken over the land, but they didn't. They made friends with the people of the land. They worshipped their gods. They didn't follow where Joshua really had led them or what he'd enabled for them. And it's the same with us. You see, Jesus overcame every sin and he died for us. He won the ultimate victory and we just got to go and possess the kingdom. But we make excuses and we're weak and nervous. So this is where this lesson of the history here speaks to us so directly. Well, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and the Perizzites. They defeated 10,000 men at Bezek. They found Adonai Bezek there. That's the king of Bezek, and they fought against him. He fled. They chased him, caught him, and cut off his thumbs and big toes. That's pretty cruel. Adonai Bezek said, "There was once a time when 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off had to pick up scraps from beneath my table, and so God has done to me what I did to them." He was taken to Jerusalem and he died in Jerusalem. I do wonder whether this Adonai Bezek sort of repented, because what he'd done to others was done to him, and he said, "Yep, well, this was from God," and he died at Jerusalem. You see, it wasn't God's intention, I don't think, that they should just go in and kill as many people as possible in Canaan. I think God's hope has always been that the Gentiles should repent and come to him. And we said this when we read about the fall of Jericho, that really they wanted the people of Jericho to repent and to respond. But they didn't, and so God gave them the victory over the city, but God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The men of Judah then attacked Jerusalem and captured it. They killed its people, set fire to the city. But by the time you come to later history, say to the time of Saul and David, Jerusalem is in the hands of the Jebusites, and Joab has to go and climb up the water shaft and get in there and take the city. So you see lots of examples of where at one point they win a victory, they take something and then they lose it. They win a battle, capture a town, and then, you read a bit later, that town is back in the hands of the local Canaanite people. So this is how it goes. You see, you might overcome one weakness and then you go back to it. This is the problem with us, and this is why we need to have God's Spirit in our lives so that the victories are permanent. After this, they went on to fight the Canaanites who lived in the hill country and also in the Negev, that's the desert area to the south. They marched against the Canaanites who were in the city of Hebron, which used to be called Kiriath Arba. That's the town of Arba, some great man amongst the Canaanites. Well, they changed the name of the city. And there they defeated the tribes of Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, the men of Judah attacked the city of Debir, which at that time was called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb then said, you remember who Caleb was? He was one of the faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb, who had faithfully gone and given a witness that we can enter the kingdom. And the rest of the Israelites didn't believe them. And therefore, that generation died in the wilderness, but Joshua and Caleb didn't. They were allowed to enter into the promised land. Well, Caleb said, I'll give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the man who manages to capture Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz, captured the city. So Caleb gave him his daughter Aksah in marriage. On the day of their wedding, Othniel urged her to ask her father for a field. She got down from her donkey, and Caleb asked her, what is your request? And she said, I would like an area that's got wells of water, because the land that you've given me is very dry. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. Well, it was Caleb himself who was ambitious enough to say, I would like to have this place as mine, that I would like to have Hebron as my special inheritance. And God had said, yeah, sure, you can have it. And his daughter was similar. She also thought, yeah, I'd like to have this area that's got some wells in. So you see how good spiritual attitudes go in families. And yet we've each got to make our own conscious effort to be like that. So you can see then how we should have the ambition. I would like to do this or that in the kingdom of God. I would like that this should be the case or that should be the case or whatever. And God will hear us rather than just thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be in the kingdom. I hope so, but who knows. No, the good news of the kingdom is that we will be there. And that's what faith and trust mean, to believe that we will be there. The descendants of Moses' father-in-law, the Kenite, that's Jethro, they went with the people of Judah from Jericho, the city of palm trees, into the desert area that is south of Arad in the south of Judah. And they settled among the Amalekites. The people of Judah went with the people of Simeon, and together they defeated the Canaanites who lived in the city of Zephath. They cursed the city, destroyed it, and renamed it Hormah. Yahweh helped the people of Judah, and they captured all the hill country, but they didn't capture Gaza, Ashkelon, or Ekron. Those people living there had iron chariots, and so the people of Judah weren't able to drive them out. Well, of course they could, just that they were frightened of the iron chariots. And Gaza was where Goliath was from. So because they didn't drive out the Philistines that were living there, the Canaanites that were living there, these areas became well known as Philistine strongholds, Ashkelon, for example.
But Goliath came from Gath.
Yeah, Gaza is another name for Gath. Well remembered, though. So all these cities, like Ashkelon and Gaza or Gath, where the Philistines were living, if only people had done the job properly at the start. See, they were told to drive all these people out and to kill them, and I suggest it means kill those who didn't want to accept the God of Israel. And they didn't do this. They thought, ooh, they've got iron chariots. We can't possibly fight with them. Well, sure. Lesson of David and Goliath. So what if someone's got all the armor in the world? Well, even if you've got a sling stone, you can still win. And yet they didn't see it that way. As Moses had commanded, Hebron was given to Caleb, who drove out of the city the tribes of Anak. But the people of the tribe of Benjamin didn't drive out the Jebusites living in Jerusalem, and the Jebusites lived there with the people of Benjamin. Well, you see what happened. First of all, they won a victory over Jerusalem, we read earlier. And then, well, they didn't actually destroy the Jebusites, and they allowed the Jebusites to live there, and the people of Benjamin lived together with the Jebusites in Jerusalem instead of driving them out. And the next, you know, the people of Benjamin, the Israelite people, don't live there at all. and the city is in the hands totally of the Jebusites. So that's the trouble with the flesh. Once you give in, you see, that's what happens. Well, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh went to attack the city of Bethel, which was called Luz, and God helped them. They sent spies to the city, who saw a man leaving and said to him, "Tell us how to get into the city, and we won't kill you." And he showed them. And the people of Ephraim and Manasseh killed everyone in the city, apart from that man and his family. He later went to the land of the Hittites and built a city there, and also called it Luz. The tribe of Manasseh didn't drive out the people living in the cities of Bethshan, Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and the areas around there. The Canaanites continued to live there. And when the Israelites became stronger, they forced the Canaanites to be their servants, but they didn't drive them out. The tribe of Ephraim didn't drive out the Canaanites living in the city of Gezer, and so the Canaanites continued to live there with them. The tribe of Zebulun didn't drive out the people living in the cities of Kitron and Nahal, and so the Canaanites continued to live there with them and were forced to do labor for them. The tribe of Asher didn't drive out the people living in the cities of Akko, Sidon, Arlab, Aksib, Helbar, Aphek, and Rehob. The people of Asher lived with the local Canaanites. They did not drive them out. The tribe of Naphtali didn't drive out the people living in Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath. People of Naphtali lived with the local Canaanites and forced them to do labor for them. The Amorites forced the people of the tribe of Dan into the hills and didn't let the people of Dan, the tribe of Dan, come down and live in the valleys. And the Amorites continue to live at Ajalon, Shalbim, Mount Heres. But the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh kept them under their rule and forced them to do labor for them. Well, you see, it all wasn't right. They should have killed these people. That's what they were told to do. But they didn't. They got friendly with them, and at best they made them pay taxes to them or made them just be their servants. But then you see these people got stronger again, and you see with the tribe of Dan, these local Canaanites drove them out, and the Israelites had to live up in the hills, because the Canaanites wouldn't let them live in the valley where the water was and where the nice soil was. So God's way is best, even though it may seem difficult. They were supposed to drive all these people out, but instead they compromised with them. And this is the thing, you cannot compromise with the world. You cannot compromise with the flesh. There has to be a critical difference between the believer and the world. This is taught very clearly. Doesn't mean that we are better than the world. We are sinners saved by grace, but we are in relationship with God. And we have therefore got the great hope of the kingdom. And you can see in the sad history of Israel where all this compromise leads, because we're going to read in the next chapter how they have actually worshipped the gods of the Canaanites. And that's unfortunately where it goes, that eventually these things will turn away our hearts. And that's why there's a difference between us and the world. That's why, although we are in the world, Jesus says, "I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, because my people are in this world." But he says to God, "But I know that my people are not of this world." And he prays that God should keep us from the evil.